I want to talk about Abraham this evening. And he was a man who had faith. He's called the father of faith. He had faith to risk, faith to trust, and faith to surrender. And we're going to look at, I wondered where Abraham got to know God. Because the first thing that you hear about him is you have his genealogy, and it goes back to one of the sons of Noah. And so that was probably where it came from. But how his faith, he came to faith originally, we're not told at all. He suddenly comes on the scene. We've had Babel, where the Lord had to bring confusion because man was getting too clever. And let me say, I heard something today or yesterday that somebody realizes that this new virus that we've got running around is actually killing COVID-19. Hallelujah. So what man thought he was going to bring fear upon us, and all the Lord says, okay, I'll just show you what I can do with it. And I understand it's reducing the effectiveness of COVID-19. So have no fear. God is here. And Abraham, his first encounter with God, God told him to leave all that and go to a place which God would guide him to. If you read in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, and we've got, suddenly he comes on the scene. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country. Get out. And it wasn't just going to be a journey of a few hundred miles. I understand from one of the commentaries I've got, what's it called, Daniel, that big book I've got. Yeah, I've got that. Matthew Henry. He said it was a 1,500-mile trek. So it wasn't just going down the road and saying, I'm going to change houses like we can do. Go down the road or just the next county or something like that. He got a real lot, but he was prepared. His faith in God caused him to be able to take risks. He was a descendant of Shem, who was the son of Noah. And it may have been that's how he came to know God. But we're not really told. But God assured him that he would be a blessing. And if we do what God asks us to do, faith, sometimes we have to take a risk. When the Lord told me to leave Rossington after 30 years, I said, no way. And I was rebellious, like Andrew was saying, when the Lord told him to move on, he was rebellious. And quite frankly, I was not moving, period. After 4 months of being told to be obedient by every preacher that came to preach from the platform, told I got to listen to what God is saying, I realized that I got to make the move. But I didn't know where to go. So actually I resigned at Rossington and stayed there for nearly 12 months until God told me where. And this is what Abraham did. God said to him, get out of your country. Get away from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And that's all he had. But he had faith and trust in the word of God that God had given to him so much. He was prepared to risk doing the journey that God was going to take him on. God assured him he would be a blessing to all, and all those who blessed him, God would bless them. And those that cursed him, God will curse them. Blessing restrained. If you hold your blessing, it'll go away. But if you pass it on, your blessing will grow, and other people will be blessed. So Abraham, not only was he going to move away, but he's going to be a blessing. And we know that he changed his name ultimately, which I shan't be going into tonight. And he was called the father of a nation as Abram, but as Abraham. He was the father of nations. And we look back and we say he's the father of faith. But let me tell you, his faith and trust in God caused him to be prepared to take the risks. And I say to myself and I say to you, as you are blessed, so you, and as you bless others, So you'll be blessed yourself and not impoverished. People think, oh, if I give, if I do this, if I give it, but the Lord says, blessed is the giver than the man that. But if you haven't any receivers, I had to learn a lesson. I was always one of those that was able to cope. I always had plenty. Well, not plenty, but enough. And suddenly I used to take and Andrew and Grace and all, she was a precious little soul, Mrs. Cox, but she came from a very, very poor background, horrendous background. And I used to pick her up at Askin and take her to church. And suddenly I started finding money on the back shelf of my car. And I thought, what's this money doing here? And I was going to go, and then I realised that it was a bus fare, putting a bus fare. And she couldn't really afford to do that, because they were very, very poor. And I was going to tell her, don't do it. And God just pulled me up. Because if there's no receivers, there can be no givers. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But I had to learn the fact that sometimes I'd got to receive, so the blessing could be the person that was giving, she could receive a blessing. And let me say, blessings that you hold to yourself, they won't be a blessing at all to you. But your blessings you pass on, not only are you blessed, but others are blessed. And Abraham was going to be that one, that kind of a man. But Abraham had faith to risk. Abraham could have said to God, like I said, I'm okay here, got all I wanted. He was a rich man. He had no needs. He got all I wanted, and I'm comfortable. Why should I move to somewhere I don't know? And he didn't know. The future there could be uncertain. I would also lose my home and my comforts and all the people around me. So he was virtually saying, I've got to get out of the comfort zone that I'm in if I'm going to take on what you're doing. And if we're going to take on what God wants us to do, we're going to work for him and do the work he requires at our hands. Your job is not mine, and mine isn't yours. We've all got a work to do, each of us. But if we say to ourselves, say to the Lord, no, I'm not going to, no, Lord, I'm quite happy where I am. I'm quite snug, and I'm quite comfortable. It means getting out of the boat. Yeah. Only one person got out of the boat, but he walked on water. Yeah. Bless him. And though he started thinking he was going to sink, the Lord didn't get him on the water to drown him, got him on the water to cause him to trust in the Lord. And Abraham, as he moved out with what God had said, he said, my future is uncertain. And let me tell you, there have been times when my future has been uncertain. I'm not sure just what God has been saying to me. I'm not sure whether I've been in the right place or I've been doing the right things. But let me tell you, as I've trusted the Lord through these things, so he's shown me the way to go. And Abraham, he had a 1,500-mile journey with many hazards, but he was prepared to risk doing what God said and leaving back. He was being asked to get out of his boat or leave his comfort zone. Talked about this before. We love to be in our comfort zones. We love to feel that we're in charge, we're in control. I don't like someone else paddling my canoe. Because I'm not sure what they're going to do, but sometimes the Lord causes us to trust him and causes us to ask on. He could have found many reasons for not going. And we don't know how long it took him. It took him quite a long time. But we know he had his trust in God. And it seemed from Scripture this was his first encounter. And what an encounter. God speaking to him in a special way. I want the Lord to speak to me. He speaks to me through his word. He speaks to me by what people say from this pulpit. He speaks to me by the way when we're having fellowship together, we rub shoulders and we rub each other up, sometimes the wrong way. But it's not because we were trying to be harmful, but because we're trying to be helpful. All sorts of things God shows us his way. But I've only heard the audible voice of God once. Just once in my life. But sometimes I wish the Lord would do it more often. But he did it once because That was the biggest step that I was going to make in my Christian life. And that was to leave Rossington. I'd been there 30 years. Thought it was home. Thought that's where I'm stopping. But God said, I want you to move on. And Abraham was the same. God saying, I want you to move on. And he had to have faith and trust in what God had said. If he was, and he had to be prepared to risk whatever the future holds. I was only talking to Louise today. We plan with what we know about yesterday and about the past. We put plans to try and do what's happening today. But we don't know what the future holds. But we know one who holds the future. And he plans and he purposes, brings about things in our lives in such a way he's planning for the down the line. I can remember going through a very, very trying time. Really, really, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And I went through this period I kept saying to the Lord, what's going on, Lord? And all I kept going was what the answer that God gave to Paul when he said, I went to him three times and asked him, what was it? And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's what I kept getting. 10 years down the line, later in my life, I met people that were going through what I went through then. And I could stand before them and say, I know where you are. I know how you feel. And this is the answer God gave me. So nothing that comes to our life is wasted. Nothing that the Lord allows to come into our lives is wasted. And you know my favourite saying, thus far and no further. And I believe God says that about you and about me. And he said it about Abraham. Abraham, he risked it all. He was going to be uprooted. And he was going to go on this trek into a country that was full of unknown things. Possible dangers. But God was asking him to leave all and go and do that which he... And go into the unknown. I'm going to take you to a land of promise. And that's where we're moving to. A land of promise. God's got promises that we have not got fulfilled. Like what someone said from the platform when it was Pastor Andrew, that someone went into heaven and saw a great big warehouse. It was full of parcels. Said, what's it all this about? Said, well, they were wrapped up to send to you, but you never asked for them. So what you need, ask the Lord for. If you stand in need, remember you've got the family of God to stand with you. And when you're in need, we need to know because we can back you and uphold you in our prayers. And Louise is saying thank you for praying for her because these last few weeks, that's what have held her in a walk with the Lord. He could have found many reasons for not going. And what he was going to encounter, he didn't know. If he was going to have an encounter with God, it was necessary that he stepped out in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God often puts in our minds to do things and things that need to be done. But we don't see the result of those things till a later date. But God's got a reason for everything in our lives, and he can turn everything around for good to those that love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. And the next verse says, I knew you from your mother's womb. And I predestined you. One of my favorite verses. I predestined you. Otherwise, I planned for you. Even before you ever knew me, I was planning for you. And he says, I planned for you to conform you or make you like Jesus. And all these things that come into our lives, we're not going to look at the things. We're not going to look at what comes into our mind. We've got to look what God says in his word and risk all as we walk with him. Abraham was prepared to take a step of faith and risk his future on what God has said. And what, quite frankly, his knowledge of God at that time, I believe, would be very, very small. It's only as he went in this walk of faith did his knowledge of God grow and grow and grow until he got the covenant that God gave him later on in the things, and a son that should never have been. He was past the age, so was Sarah, but God said, nothing is impossible for me. The Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Another one of my favorite verses. The evidence of things not seen. And I want to see the not seen things. I want to see the hand of God working. When I look around and see some of the people that have come in since I came here and seen the development and the growth that God has brought into their lives, it thrills my whole heart. And I'm absolutely over the moon sometimes when I see people that have said, oh, I don't know anything. Louise was the same. She used to say, I don't know anything. I can't remember anything. And I used to say to her, what happened to Lot's wife then? Oh, she was a pillar of salt. She went to a pillar of salt. She could remember that. That's one of the first things that she could remember. And I said, I thought you could remember. And don't belittle yourself. Don't put yourself down. God's got great things for you. Abraham heard the voice of God. And by faith he risked all to follow to God's calling. How much are you prepared to risk? What are you prepared to do when you hear the voice of God? When God shows you through his word things that you need to do. Sometimes they're very hard. Sometimes you need adjustments. You need to change. You need to put off things that you might put on Jesus. You put off those things that would draw you down and draw you back. Because there's a battle on. Christian life is not an easy life. Don't get sucked into the fact that some people say, become a Christian and everything will be going fine. No problems. Become a Christian and you start hitting problems because the old man wants his way and the new man wants you to realize that God wants his way. And like Abraham, we need to be prepared to take the risk. Believe what God says. And as we believe what God says, we will go through with him. Abraham also had faith to trust. Abraham to trust God to guide him to the promised land. He didn't have a stat nav. He didn't have a destination. He didn't have a postcode. So he didn't know exactly where he was going. He had to rely on God. What God said, I'll lead you. I'll guide you. Let me tell you, you don't know where you're going in your own Christian walk and in God. You don't know what's in front of you. But we've got a God who knows it all. And he plans now for the future. He doesn't plan just for today. He plans now for the future. You might say tomorrow at this time, we're going to do so and so and so and so. That's if you're able. But God knows if you're able. He knows tomorrow. Like he knows tomorrow better than we do. And he knows our future. But he's got a plan for our future. And that plan is that he might develop in us the Lord Jesus in such a way that people will take note that we've been with Jesus. And I want the development to be such that when I get to heaven, it won't have to be too big a change, but I'm sure it's going to be a huge change because we haven't arrived. But we can arrive at different destinations that will take us into a position where we become more and more like Jesus. He did not have a map. And I said it before, he didn't have a stat nav. Get my teeth around that one. He only had God's word and the promise that God would be with him. But he had to trust God to keep his word. Let me tell you, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. There's a chorus we used to sing. Can't remember the rest of it, but let me tell you, you can trust this word. It's something I believe that we will never be without God's word. So in fact, it will go into eternity with us. It's the only thing that we've got down here that will go with us when we get up there. His word is from everlasting to everlasting. It will always stand up to the test of time. And so Abraham, he didn't have anything else except the word of God. And he had to trust. When you see what God had promised him, it was something he could only dream about, really. In verse 2, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And at the moment, he hadn't started his journey. But God's saying what he will make him if he will only journey with the Lord. When you see what God has promised him, we see that and what God has said to him, He could have thought he was dreaming, But verse 1 says, this is what God wanted Abraham to do. And if he did it, he would change the name of Abraham to Abraham, the father of multitudes. You'll see that in verse 5. Abraham trusted God that if he kept his word, his part, God would keep his part. One of the scriptures said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And when I first read that, I thought, have I read that right? Have I got to draw near to God first? Of course you have, because that means that you've given over your will to him. You've given over that which your desires, you've given to him and saying, I want what you've got. When we give God what we've got, he gives us what he's got. Let me tell you, it's far better than anything that we've had, that we can produce in ourselves. He changed from being high father to being the father of multitudes. That's, then I think I've got that from Matthew Henry as well. He changed Abraham from being a high father when he made him Abraham to being a father of a multitude. It took faith for Abraham to believe this, for he had yet had no son and Sarah was barren. Can you imagine that looking at that and saying, and we're like that, you see. Quite frankly, without faith it's impossible to please God. But the faith that we have is given to us as a gift. It's not something that we've acquired and we gain. I've been a good boy, I get this. If I've been a bad boy, I get a clip. Something like that. But that's not so. The faith that I've got is given to me by God himself. It's a gift. And I take it. And that faith charges me up. And it lets me see the unseen, see what God's doing and saying, that's what I want. When I became 80, I said, give me that mountain. I don't know what mountain it was, but give it to me anyway. Because Caleb said that at 80, he said, give me that mountain. 85 rather, he was, wouldn't he? And let me say, when I was 85, I did the same. I can say that with all my heart that the Lord has done things for me in this last 2 years that have been beyond my imagination. I can't explain it to you what it was, but all I do know is that the Lord has taken my life and that I should have gone. In fact, COVID should have took me. But God said, ha-ha, thus far and no further. Thus far and no further. I can't remember 2 days. Quite frankly, 2 days are a complete mystery. Whether I ate, drank or didn't, I don't know. All I know, those 2 days, I have no memory whatsoever of them, except the fact that I felt I was in God's hands. And you are in God's hands. Abraham was in God's hands. And his faith caused him to trust the word of God. And at times there's a need for God, for us to say, I'm here, Lord. I can remember sometimes when Kath was very ill and she was ill. She was seriously ill a few times long before where she went into dementia. We used to say, Lord, we're here again. We just present ourselves. We haven't got the answers, but we knew he had. And as we just laid there in just resting in the Lord, we got the assurance that God would bring us through. And you know my motto for 22, he'll bring you through in 22. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm not believing that and I'm holding on to that. But at times there is a need to say, I'm here, Lord. I want your will. Nothing's going to go right from a human standpoint. It might be going all wrong. But nevertheless, there is a place where we can be, where God can intervene and change the situation around. All things do work together for good. Not always good, but God will bring some good out of that situation that nothing else can do for you, but we've got to hold on to him. We've got to trust him and trust his word. Abraham left a place of plenty, a place of comfort, and a place where he was contented, and he had to go to a place of famine, contention and the unknown. He went through all that. But it was where God wanted him at the time. Why? Because he wants to producing Abraham something that nothing else could do. And when he said to him, I want you to get away from your family. But when he first started out, he had his dad with him. So they stopped on the way for a while, and then his dad passed into eternity, so he moved on, but he still had Lot. And God said, I want you to leave your family. And that's, to me, that was no problem, because I didn't have a very good family, so it wasn't hard for me to leave a family. But Abraham, he loved Lot. He loved his father. He loved all these people. But God said, I want you to separate yourselves. And I believe God is saying to us as well, we need to come to the place where we trust God and separate ourselves from those things that we find comfort in, those things that satisfy the desires of the old man, because we want the new man, the one that has been quickened. We've already said tonight that our souls are quickened as the Spirit of God comes and lives within us and starts to work out the purposes of God for us. Abraham left this place of plenty. His faith to trust God in this new place and do God's will was based on what God said, not what his circumstances threw up. Yeah. Came to the point where at last he got rid of Lot. Well, God moved him on. They came to a place where there were contention in the family between what Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's. And Abraham said, if you go that way, I'll go this way. And Lot looked and saw the green pastures of the valley. But what he didn't see was Sodom and Gomorrah that contaminated his whole life. And he became almost similar to what they were. And he was continually caused him problems. But Abraham said, right, you go that way. I'm going to trust God and go this way. God took him to the land of plenty. He had to leave his family. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And some people say, you can't be righteous without certain things. But Abraham, because of his trust in God, his trust brought righteousness. He started to walk the way God wanted him to walk. And I believe as we trust the Lord, we put our full trust in him, do what he requires at our hands. We'll make mistakes. Because we're human. We're not always attained the high level that the scriptures show to us. But we're moving then that way. We're fighting to that end. When I was looking up for these notes, I found some other notes. It says, how good a finisher are you? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And that's where how you finish will depend on how you've journeyed with the Lord. Now your faith has been, your trust has been in him. If we're going to do God's will and accomplish his purpose for our life, the life of our church, we, like Abraham, will have to believe God's word. Got to believe it. Not got to just read it and think, oh, that's nice. I'm reading Daniel at the moment and it's quite challenging. We ain't got to the lines then yet. We've got to, but that's coming along. And other things. But why... in all these things, if we're challenged with, if we see the challenge of where it's come from, see what the enemy does, he brings things into our lives that are so much near what the natural things, we think, oh, it's because I'm getting a bit older, or it's because of this and because of that. I said to somebody the other day, I wake up with a pain in my leg every morning. She says, do you think your leg's warm enough when you're asleep? And I thought, well, it's usually sweating, so it must be warm enough. But I put an extra blanket on my bed, and you know what? I don't wake up with a pain in my leg anymore. But let me say to you, God has got things that we can help one another with. We aren't in this fellowship just to make the number up. We're in this fellowship to do the work that God's called us to do. It might not be very much. You might think, oh, I don't do very much. Well, God's not asking you to do very much. He's asking to do what you can. And when you do that, he does what he can. The lady that brought the man of Bethesda box, the disciples berated her and said she should have sold it for 400 pence. I think it's 400, whatever it was. But the price, she wanted to sell it and put it in the money bag, because he had his hand in the money bag. That's why he wanted it. Judas, he had his money in it, but Jesus said to her, leave her alone. She's done what she could. And I believe when the enemy comes in and tries to trip us up, tries to bring things into our minds, tries to cause us to think down certain lines, the Lord says, leave her alone. She's doing what she can. Do what you can. He does what he can. And together you will accomplish the work that he's called you to do. Abraham had to trust God. And as he trusted God and depended on God, God guided him and directed him. And his trust ultimately brought him to where God was asking him to be. He had faith to surrender. I've sung many times, I surrender all. I surrender all. Then the Lord says, what about so and so? What about this? And I believe that as we walk our Christian life, our faith should give us the power to surrender to the will and purposes of God. God's purpose was for Abraham to go into the land, and the land of promise, the land where he was going to bless him, where he's going to use him to bless others. But God kept his word to Abraham. And he said to him, one, you're going to be the father of many nations, of many people, multitudes, he said. But he said, but I haven't got a son. Tried to help God out. Made a right mess, didn't they? Ishmael came along. When they were boys, when Isaac and Ishmael were boys, and they've had conflict ever since. But who came through with the inheritance? The one that God said, Isaac. He hadn't got a child then. But God said to him, I'm telling you this much, he's going to come through Sarah. God made what was an impossible thing become possible. And I believe that's the same for us. As we trust him, surrender to his will, he can make the impossible possible. You might not see it. We might not be able to see through it. We might not understand what's going on. But God says, trust me. I'm going to take you through. I'm going to bring you out the other side. I'm going to bring you through this situation that you are going through at this moment of time. And because of it, you are going to be better. You're going to be more like Jesus. And that's my aim, my purpose, my thoughts. I want to be more like Jesus. Abraham and Sarah, he was 100. Sarah was 90. And the son, something they thought would never happen, came along. And Isaac was raised up. But God even tested Abraham, even with Isaac. And Abraham said, if I kill him, I believe that God could raise him from the dead. Because he was the one his inheritance was going to go to. He was the one that was going to carry the thing through. And out of that great, one son came the great nation the Jewish nation. It went through quite a period of time. And when they left Egypt, they went into Egypt of 70 people. They came out, I think it was 3 million. But that was God's provision. And we see from this episode in their lives that the resounding answer that when they were said, is there anything too hard for God to do? No. No, no. Our God can do anything. Except tell you lies. Except not to keep his word. But other than that, he can do anything that you require. And as you trust him, and as you put your faith in him, you will find that he'll be able to bring you through. So have faith to risk. Faith to trust. Faith to surrender. And as you surrender all, the impossible that you cannot do becomes a possibility in our God. Amen.